Coming up on BYU Football with Kalani Sitake, the Cougars stay perfect on the season, picking up win number 8 in the Sunshine State. Next up, it's an extra week of prep for the rivalry game with Utah. And we're heading into bye week with Kalani and tight end Mataba Tase next on BYU TV and ESPN+.
BYU Football with Kalani Sitake is presented by Intermountain Health, official medical provider of BYU Athletics.
Hello, hello, hello. Hi, folks. Hello and good evening once again, all of you in Cougar Nation. Welcome back inside Studio C at the BYU Broadcasting Building on the gorgeous Brigham Young University campus in Provo, Utah. The weather has changed. It is beautiful out there. It is our Week 9 edition of BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. Very happy that you are with us, either live or on demand, via the BYU TV and BYU Radio apps and ESPN+. Coming up on tonight's program, we will look back on Saturday's win at UCF, a win that improves BYU to 8-0 on the season. Our guests in the film room, our punter and holder Sam Vanderhaar and place kicker Will Farron. They combined on a great fake field goal in Orlando. We'll talk about the Cougs' practice plans in preparation for the Utah game and look ahead to this new-look rivalry. Deep Blue will profile BYU defensive tackles coach Sione Pu'uha. Tight end Mataba Tase is our guest in studio, and we'll have our mini-game show segment, some Q&A with the coach and Tava, another weekly BYU football trivia question, and our regular uniform preview as the Blue visits the Red in Salt Lake City. Well, with his next win, Kalani Sitake will hit the 70-win plateau as BYU's head coach. Please welcome back into Studio C the main man of BYU football, Kalani Sitake!
Looking good. I like your costume.
Yes, that is Hazel Hamouli, our lay girl. She is Witch Hazel, obviously. So there we go. Hello, my friend.
Ready to roll.
Ready to roll. Doing? Good to see you.
Yeah, I just have to remember which game we played last weekend because we've already kind of moved on.
I know you have. You're good about that.
But it's good to recap and review it.
We will. How was Tuesday practice?
It was good. Really good practice today. We had to go in the indoor. It was a little bit. Got some weather, that's why I got the hoodie on now. It's getting a little colder, but still got to rock the shorts. Got to show off the calves, my best feature.
Fall has certainly arrived, into winter a little bit. Football weather, they say, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's how you know you're getting toward the tail end of the season. And for us, it's after this week, we got the last four, but we're always focused on the next game and trying to get that 1-0 for that week.
Speaking of weather, what a great day in Orlando it was on Saturday.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, my wife's from Polk County. She's from that area. And so when we normally go, it's in July, which is
a little less awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to go to Disney World in July. So, but I mean, it's still nice because I get to see the in-laws and everything. But yeah, the weather was awesome. It was like low 80s and
little
nice breeze.
Yeah.
Good sun. You know, I got to wear my sunglasses, so can't complain about it. Had a rocket launch.
Nice day for a rocket launch. First time we've had that during a football game.
Tons of royal blue in the stadium, so a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, about that, it really showed up. And as the game went along and BYU was more and more in command, you know, some of the UCF fans kind of, by the time the game was over, kind of felt like you're building.
Yeah, and I think the BYU fans kind of spread out. There's one section was kind of, they're mostly the visiting section, and then there's a kind of spread out all over. And once the game felt like it was under control, UCF fans started to leave, and then you just saw the Royal Blue just kind of come together, and it was nice. They had when they got together, we had to sing the fight song twice.
I saw that.
There's so many, and I just want to show them how much we appreciate them and love them, and the guys had a lot of fun, and they have a lot of fun representing the fans.
And pretty much wherever you go in the Big 12, somebody from that market, usually a media member, will say, wow, I've never seen a team with as many fans in an away building in this conference as BYU. They're getting used to what you've kind of been used to for a while now.
Yeah, and it's always, for us being the visiting team, it's always comforting to see the blue out there and have the fans cheering for us. And that's a nice feel. But talking to the fans after the game, we know that a lot of people drove in from the region and drove some hours, but it was nice to be on the East Coast and have them visit us. And so I appreciate all those that made the trip and made some noise, and I'm glad they're happy with the result.
Well, you played a game in August. You played games in September. You've now played games in October, and you still haven't taken an L.
Yeah, and then let's just do what we did in September and October. That'd be nice. And I think the goal, us being focused on just that one game for the week, has been really helpful for our program. I have to give a lot of credit to our coaches and our leaders on our team have done a great job keeping them focused on the goal, and that's going 1-0 every week. And I can assure you this week and the bye week will go 1-0, and then we'll see what happens next week. But it's a good way to get started on our opponent, have some extra time on them. But really, more than anything, we want to fix some of the deficiencies that we had, that we saw from last week. And for me, it's a lot of the mistakes that are very manageable. The focus, meaning the discipline. We had way too many false starts and offsides, and even just the rhythm of the calls coming in. And we can fix that. And I thought today was a good day for us, you know, improving from the weekend, and looking forward to improving tomorrow.
Well, 8-0 does put you in the AP top 10 at number 9. Next Tuesday, 1 week from tonight, is election night. It's also Kevin Young's first regular season night, and it's also the night when the college football playoff rankings come out for the first time. We don't know where BYU will be, but there's a really good chance BYU will be somewhere in that field because you're undefeated. Just that fact alone, knowing in this new era that you're representing right off the bat, how happy does that make you, and proud of your guys?
Well, I think us being in the Big 12 is a lot of fun. And I mean, it's an honor for us to be in this conference and to be partners with the other teams that are in the conference. I think we're not really worried about the rankings. We didn't worry about it when the first one came out before our game, you know, so we right now don't give a lot of attention to it. We do know that we're in a position where we thought we could be as a team. And we knew that the focus is for us to keep trying to prove ourselves right more than proving the doubters wrong. Like I said, it doesn't hurt though, you know, but we really can't keep our focus has to be razor sharp and on our opponents, our next opponent, and then improving the things that we can improve day to day, and focus on all the small, simple things. And if we can do that, I think we'll be in a really good spot, and we'll love the results.
I totally get you. And at the same time, it's nice to have the BYU name, the logo, the message, the identity out there as much as it is. That comes with success. I was driving to work this morning, heard you on a national radio show on Sirius XM with Rick Neuheisel and Chris Childers. And then I get to work, and then Jake Retzloff's on Jim Rome. This is a normal thing right now for this BYU football program. That is a super positive thing.
Yeah, and it's not really a distraction because they're talking about the things. They're reinforcing what they've been doing. And so and just showing the love that they have for each other, the love that they have representing our team. And it was nice that Jake was able to explain why he came here as a man of a different faith, and how he feels like he can live his faith at the fullest here, being at BYU. And so that's a huge compliment to the university, the people that are here, and for him to make that move, and then to talk about it. And we're in a really good spot. I don't mind the guys talking about BYU football. It's just, let's also keep focusing on improving. And we've always said it before, let's stay humble and stay hungry and try to keep working. And there's room for improvement. I want to see us play at our best. I can't wait. You know, we still can play better. And that's the fun part about it.
Let's officially put that UCF game in the rear view. It was 3 days ago that BYU was in Orlando looking for the program's first win at UCF and the fourth all-time meeting between these two programs. BYU was also playing for back-to-back Big 12 away wins for the first time since joining the conference. Let's recap. BYU's win over the Knights with this week's momentum moment and top player performances presented by Waystar. And the momentum moment, we're picking this one, came right before halftime. It's a 7-point BYU lead, and then Chase Roberts happens, and suddenly you're up 2 touchdowns at halftime.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's a really tough person to match up in man-man coverage, and if you miss a tackle, he's got the speed that'll get you to the end zone. And so he's been a big weapon for us, and then same with the other guys. I like that what I like about this, when he scores, it's the energy and the excitement for the other players that are there. You see Darius show up quickly, and you see all the excitement from the rest of the team, and you see the sidelines when I get to see it on our film, the excitement that they have for it. And it's always the guys that are our backups for him and playing the same position that are more excited than even he is.
It was a big momentum shift too. It was part of the middle eight You got to score a touchdown while they scored a field goal in the middle late. And then to start the second half, you get a defensive three and out and score a touchdown. And so for a team that gets the ball to begin the second half, you kind of controlled what the team with the second half kickoff usually gets to control.
Yeah, and I like the way the team, I mean, we've been always talking about complementary football and that we want to create momentum and create some rhythm. And you want to play your complementary football as in each phase, the three phases, but they can really go well together. And it takes you have to be deliberate about it. And so having the coaches, I mean, having Jay Hill and Kelly Papinga and Aaron Roderick, A-Rod, those guys work together. And my job is just to have the best seat in the house and empower them to make the right decisions. And then here we go. I mean, I think the thing I had to do in that game was decide we're going to go for fourth down, and you already know the answer to that one most of the time, you know. So,
or go for a fake field goal.
Yeah, the fake field goal is nice. I mean, you don't usually take your Australian rules football player and teach. He's never hiked the ball before, and have him do it. But if K-pop can think it up, then these guys will work on it, and they'll find a way to make it work.
Let's take a look at some top player performances from Saturday. We start with the quarterback, who's getting a lot of national watch list attention this week. Jake Retzlaff, a really nice game. A 174 pass efficiency rating. That's his highest in his BYU career against any FBS opponent. Third time that he's had multiple TD passes and a rushing touchdown in the same game. He's a true dual threat. And, from one season to the next, the growth continues week to week. And what a great starting quarterback he's been for you through eight games.
Yeah, and what a great leader for us, and he's been, he's been steady. I said it before, I like how comfortable he is with the offense. You could see the difference between last year and this year, and the time that he spent on it, and learning it, and making the checks and the audibles, putting the O-line in the right protection, all that stuff. He's done a great job at it, and taking care of the football is something that we always talk about, there's one turnover, right? The fumble that we can improve on. I'd like to see him fix that, but a lot of that had to do with the protection broke down a little bit.
And needed about a half second more to find Parker Kingston.
Yeah, because Parker was wide open, and I believe it was a tight end that wasn't able to hang on to his block. But it's okay. That's we'll work on it, and keep. It's never perfect, but I want it to be, So. And Jake's capable of doing it. So there's nothing wrong with, I believe there's nothing wrong with fixing and pointing out the mistakes, but you also have to combine that with praising the things that they're doing well. And Jake's done an amazing job at the quarterback position and with the offense. And a lot of guys have done some really good things. And I think it's important that we praise them, even in combination with fix the problems.
Let's praise L.J. Martin for his big game at UCF. 15 carries for 101 yards and a touchdown. There's this note. BYU is 5-0 all time when L.J. has 15 or more carries. He was right on that number in Orlando. BYU is 6-0 whenever L.J. scores a touchdown. And he got one of those in Orlando as well. So good to have him back, as we've talked about, and got out of this game healthy, and then the 1-2 punch with Hinkley. But LJ kind of gets you going, doesn't he?
Yeah, and he's such a weapon. He can catch the ball in the backfield, too, and he does a great job of protection. But what he's the best at is running the ball. And you see the how he and Hinkley complement each other with the 1-2 punch. And so it's I've been really pleased with what he's been doing, as our starting running back, and then having Hinkley be able to work with him and having them on the field at the same time, it's been nice. I think A-Rod's done a great job at utilizing the talent. It's just nice to have him back and healthy again and having basically all the weapons that you can use on offense.
Love this BYU defense. 14 interceptions now on the season, and remarkably, those 14 interceptions are spread around 11 players. And Isaiah Glasker, one of those 11 players, he got his second interception of the season on Saturday in Orlando and was kind of all over the field again. Isaiah Glasker in that linebacking corps, so much fun to watch. And again, just one of a bunch of guys who can snag the ball in the air and give it back to the offense.
Yeah, just a huge weapon. I mean, he's literally huge. He's 6'5", 235 pounds. And he said he played wide out in safety in high school. So he's got the mindset that he's still, the skill position. And then he's physical and strong enough to play at the line of scrimmage. So he's been great for us and has a nose for the ball. And I mean, all the guys you mentioned, there's, 11 players that have got interceptions. And so that's a good sign. That means that The guys are doing their job the right way, and we rotate a bunch of guys in there. So we knew that if you do your 1-11th, somebody's going to have an opportunity to make a big play, and Isaiah was able to get his second interception of the year.
And there's room for a few more guys to get a pick, too. Yeah. The BYU record, by the way, all time is 13 players in any one season, so that's still in play. All right, great recap of BYU at UCF. Cougs win by 13. Well, it's not every week you make a play that wins the honor of receiving the Pop-Tarts Crazy Good Play of the Week. But this past weekend in Orlando, BYU special teams pulled off a play that earned that particular award and put another feather in the cap of special teams coordinator Kelly Papinga. Tonight, the holder and the would-be kicker on that awesome fake field goal join our Jerem Jordan inside the film room.
All right, boys, congratulations on the Pop-Tarts Crazy Good Play of the Week. They sent you Pop-Tarts, so cookies and cream and cherry.
Let's go.
Yeah. This play is so awesome. How long have you been working on it? And when you get that play call, are you nervous? Are you excited? How you?
It's been installed since the Wyoming game. That was the first week where we did it. I think the week of that game, we ran this probably four times in practice. And I think one of the times the ball actually got to my hands.
Okay.
So it wasn't a good fake back then. And then since then, we've ran it probably twice a week or so, making sure we've had it ready just whenever the time was right. So we've had it ready to go, and then we actually get to this play where we get stopped on third down, and Coach Pop says, we're running it, and that's it. And then all kinds of thoughts go into your brain.
How are you feeling? Because you're the one that's got to snap it over.
Yeah, I mean, I was pumped. Same with the Baylor one. Like, I love doing fakes, but I went up to Will. I'm like, be ready. Like, we're gonna be doing the play. And I could see, like, the color drain from his face. No. Because it is one of those plays where it's great if it works, obviously. And then if it doesn't, then, you know, we look like fools. So
this isn't just, like, a lateral or a pitch. This is a snap between your legs.
Coach Hill was kind of the architect behind drawing this up. I think he ran it at Weber with the Aussie punter there. So he was the one. Initially, I was actually doing it two hands. And then he said, you know, you should try with one. It might be a little easier. And I remember when they first told we were doing it in the walkthrough way back when, I was like, there's no way. There's no way we can do this. And then I think the last like couple weeks, we've pretty much run it perfect the last couple weeks. So it was, as Will was saying, it was pretty comfortable.
Okay, Will, you catch it like one-handed with your right hand.
Yeah.
And then you're looking at Ethan Erickson, and Ethan's like, dog, I'm open. But you're like, I'm going to guarantee the first down here.
So, yeah, that ball just kind of pops up there. It was farther away from me than it sometimes is. So I kind of had to reach out for it a little bit.
I just wanted to make it look extra special.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw some
no
some
look,
style
one-hander.
On
awesome.
But I get it. I'm reading. So the way that we run it, they bring a lot of pressure off that field side edge. They got a ton of guys over there, and they just crash that edge, and they do a really good job getting there. And they only have one guy in the back, so I'm reading that guy at number 9, I think, back there. And if he runs to me, I throw the ball, and if he runs to Ethan, I pass the ball. So I got the ball. By the time it gets to where I can actually throw it, it's probably about right there. And right now you can see I'm kind of glancing back at that safety. And right now the thought in my head is Ethan's wide open. But then I kind of glance back and see that I too am wide open, which is we're all open. The throw would be awesome, but it's kind of
it's on the
higher
run.
Risk throw.
Yes.
We got the safety running in there pretty quick. And I saw the first down marker right there and decided to just go and get after it and get what we needed to get and get out of there.
It's a double snap. Do you like that name for it, the double snap?
Is that
a good
I point? Like it.
I
yeah.
love that name. I think it's sweet.
I think as soon as it hit Will's hands, I'm like, that's going on ESPN.
I
thought differently. I was like, that's going on. I like reel that one.
That is awesome. Okay, bye week, then Utah. What are you guys hoping to accomplish this week? And then obviously a huge game with the Utes next week, Will.
Yeah, this week for the team, it's recover, get our bodies back, get our guys back. On special teams, it's a lot of technique. So in practice with the team, we'll be doing technique work. With us, we'll be making sure our operation's good, the snap, the hold, And then next week, we're all locked and loaded and getting prepped for the game.
You have time to eat the Pop-Tarts.
Oh, yeah.
And burn it off in time for the Utah game.
Yeah, I think Will needs these more than I do, so I'll be giving it to him.
Well, guys, thanks for the time and congratulations.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
All right, fun game for those guys. Wow, look at the special teams this year. Just among the highlights, fake field goal, fake punt, 70-yard punt, kickoff return touchdown, punt return touchdown. What a year for Coach Papinga and his special teams all over the place.
Yeah, he's done a great job coaching that group. And then it's the just open for whatever people want to do. And so, like, Jay, they mentioned Jay had done this before. So I don't think there's a fake that Coach Papinga doesn't like. You know, so it's just a matter of what if it relates to what we're seeing and if we have the time to execute it. And these guys, they've been sitting on it for a while now. They've been doing it and practicing it for a number of weeks. And so for them to execute it, I think probably Sam had a little bit of adrenaline rush, which caused the snap to go a little bit further. But, I mean, if you see at the end, I'm pointing
yes
for our kicker to run out of bounds. Because it's like, don't try to be a cutback specialist and think you can score a touchdown. I need him to be safe to kick PATs and field goals.
Which he's doing at a really high rate, by the way. Perfect on the PATs, great field goal rate. And let's also shout out Dalton Riggs, long snapper, a big part of that as well. So great work by everybody on the special teams. Let's take a look at some of the key stats from Saturday's win at UCF, presented by Smarty. BYU over UCF 37-24, and to hold a team like UCF, which was the number two rushing team in the country going into the game, to hold them under 20 minutes of possession time, that's where those teams make their living, is by staying on the field.
Yeah, and then converting their third downs, things like that. And I think we, if you look at the first three quarters, we pretty much had it under control. They got a lot of yards on the last two drives.
With a different quarterback.
Yeah, different quarterback. And we had, it was good learning experiences for our guys that were in there. And we had some guys that were getting some reps that don't normally get those type of situations, you know. So I think in the long run it'll pay off for us in our depth. I'm not worried about the yards. I'm more concerned about getting our team ready to play, and those guys are one play away from being in there when in the significant moments of the games. And so we have to prep them somehow. And when we have those opportunities, I'm going to take it, even if it costs us some yards and points.
Yeah, with Saturday's win, BYU now 8-0 on the year, 5-0 in the Big 12, all alone at the top of the conference. And yes, BYU is ranked 9th in the latest AP poll. Next up, a week off, the bye week, second bye week, followed by the rivalry game at Utah. The Utes opened the season at 4-0. They've now lost 4 in a row. They were picked to win the Big 12 preseason, but the standings have flipped almost entirely from what people thought they might be before the year. Good defensive numbers, which is pretty traditional for a Utah team. Last time they got together, BYU did win that game with Jaron Hall at the helm. First time in Salt Lake City in a while. And so a few extra days to build up to BYU and Utah.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to take advantage of the time. And I know they have a bye as well. So I said before, we're going to get their best shot. I know what those coaches and those players are made of. And so we're going to get their best shot. And need to make sure that they get our best shot too. And it's going to be a fun game. I'm glad it's back on the schedule, you know, after taking a break from that game. And I mentioned before, it just makes sense for us to play this game every year and for us to be in the same conference. The difference is that we're in a power conference now. And so let's have fun with it, fans, but at the same time, be as respectful as we can.
Okay, break time. As we break, your reminder that your day-to-day Cougar Sports play-by-play happens on BYU Sports Nation. Join Spencer and Jaron weekdays at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. When we come back, Deep Blue will take a look at BYU defensive tackles coach Sione Pouha, and tight end Matava Tase will join us live in studio when BYU Football with Kalani Sitake continues. Stay with us.
BYU Football with Kalani Sitake is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics, Waystar, and Breeze, the official hometown airline of BYU athletics, in partnership with the San Bernardino International Airport.
Welcome back to BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. Time now for our weekly Deep Blue profile. Well, Sione Pouha was in the midst of a successful NFL career when he felt something calling him in a different direction. This inspiration brought him back to Utah to serve as a leader in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, as well as influence the next generation of football players. Here now is this week's Deep Blue with Sione Pouha.
My life is just an example of a righteous pursuit from a man from Tonga. We always think the American dream is accumulating big houses, you know, having nice cars, but his righteous pursuit was just us maximizing who we were supposed to be, and having those resources that America did have that we didn't have before. It's not that Tonga wasn't a good place, it's just that America was way more resourceful.
Although his dad was first generation, didn't really speak much English, or he knew as much as he did, he knew what he wanted for his son, which was to succeed. So although he didn't know nothing about football, he found Judge Memorial, this little Catholic school, sees kids playing football, and he's like, I have one son. He knew what he wanted for his son, which was to be strong in the gospel and to be successful.
So in the NFL, right, the main goal is to get in and get your foot in. And this, when you get your foot in, the next goal is staying as long as you can. You measure it by years, but you also measure it by how many contracts you can get. So I get to my third contract. It's supposed to take me to 10 years. But at the time, I just felt that I had maximized the phase that I was at in life. But we just felt like, okay, there's more. There's more. There's more purpose. The Jets had made a change in management, and we got a new general manager. And the general manager came in, just rearranged a lot of the different contracts, and ours was one of those. We looked at it as a window to say, okay, maybe this is the time for us to move on. So I called my bishop and wanted to talk to him. He looked at me and he goes, how are things? How are things with your family? I said, they're going great. And he says, do you have enough? And I said, yeah, I have enough. And then he looked at me and he says, I would think on that. My dad was an avid temple goer, worked at the temple for several years. As a Tongan immigrant coming to a new place, right, there's new dynamics that the youth face that he would never have understood, right? Well, one thing he did understand was he understood the gospel. So when I turned 12, he said we were gonna go do baptisms Saturday morning. So I was like, okay, cool. So we went Saturday, then we went the next Saturday, then we went the next Saturday. So when I was 12 till I was 19, we went to the temple every Saturday at 5:30 in the morning. But that was his way to say, I'm not smart enough to raise my son here because I never grew up here, but I know that this is what I can do. It was never the plan. My plan was to do 10 years, let's finish these three contracts, let's go ahead and stack our chips, let's do our deal, right off into the sunset. I was going in there thinking, Bishop will tell me, no, don't do it, yes, don't do it. But he gave me some things to ponder and reflect about. And when he said, do you have enough? Me and my wife already knew what the answer was. You've been living your dream, and now you're gonna get it cut short by your own decisions. I had no clue what I was gonna do. I closed my eyes and we just drove by it, and I knew I just had to gut through that drive. And we just drove right past the facility and went straight to the airport, and we came to Salt Lake. I got called to serve the people in the Bountiful Sixth Ward in Bountiful as their bishop. My thought went to, 12 months ago, I was sitting on an NFL bench. And now I'm sitting here, sitting on this bench. Then my thought went back, that was enough for that time and season in my life. And now it's time for this.
My dad was a worker at the Salt Lake Temple for years. That was one of the individual sacred things that I was able to do. After my dad passed away, he says, can you come to the temple and clean out his locker? So I went in there, his jacket, his shoes, socks, and that kind of takes me back too, because that's the locker room that's really important. He's had a son that has had a locker at University of Utah, had a locker there as a coach and as a player, one in New York and here at BYU. Now that I really think about it and that experience, he had the real locker. He had the locker with the team that meant the most.
Gandhi's quote that I love and quote so much, and I try to strive and live my life to it, is he said, my life is my message. And I would hope that my life is a message of the things that are important for me, important to me,
I would hope that as I live my life, people wouldn't have to refer to what I say, but more of what I do and how I live my life. That goes back to my dad. He didn't want nothing. He didn't want no money. He didn't want anything like that. What he cared about the most, whenever I try to make a meager attempt at buying them dinner or getting them something, are your children taken care of? Is your wife taken care of? Are you living comfortably? That's what he wants. So that's why I always attached to Righteous Pursuit, because it never was about him. It was always about me.
So when I think about his blueprint that he has about leadership, I'm sure all he did was said, this is what my dad did, and he did it in his own way.
He has a way of bringing out the best in his players. You know, he coaches a tough position that's known for toughness and physicality, and he has his own unique way of getting that out of his guys. You know, he's not cursing those guys.
He knows the sport of football, but more importantly, he knows people and cares about them on a different level.
Probably a huge reason of why he's so happy and sees the success that he's had today is because of that man who he calls his dad.
You just look at the way he lived his life, but I'm sure he used the Savior as the model as well to say this is how he lived his life, and that was his message. You know, we say, oh, yeah, leave a legacy, leave a history, and that quote hit me hard when it says, leaving a legacy is not what you leave behind, but what you leave inside of people once you're gone. And I would hope that that would be the message of my life.
In your words, what does Sione bring to your staff and your team?
Yeah, he's one of the best people I've known my whole life. And I get to work with that guy. And I get to have him and his family, him and his wife and his kids in our BYU family and our football family. And I've learned a lot from him. Our culture and our team, it's like he was meant to be here at BYU with us. And to give up the NFL dream when they still want you to play because the Spirit speaks to you. I get the benefit of being around him, and I've learned quite a bit from him, and I'm looking forward to learning more from him.
Excellent. Well, last season, in his first season as a BYU Cougar, Matava Tase recorded one catch for 4 yards. This year, he has 4 catches, with 3 of them going for touchdowns. When he makes a grab, he makes it count. And tonight, we've grabbed him for his Sitake Show debut. Please welcome in tight end Matava Tase. All right, first things first, the BYU football media relations folks have all the guys say their names into a recorder so they can put it on the website and people can hear how to say players' names. It's great. And I listen to yours and you say, Matava Tase.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Yep.
I was trained to kind of make sure I hit all the glottal stops and say Matava Tase.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's good, Matava Tase. So I've been going with your version. Am I okay to do that?
Yeah, well, either way is good.
Okay. Is there any, do people still do the more formal way, or?
Yeah, those back, yeah, family back home, yeah.
Okay.
The Islanders, yeah.
I'm sticking with you, though. Yeah. Matava Tase is
Matava
okay,
Tase
right?
is good, yeah.
And Tava, you get a lot of Tava.
Tava, yeah.
There you go, yep. Fantastic. Where'd you grow up?
Mesa, Arizona, originally, so.
Okay, and when did football become a thing for you, a real thing?
Yeah, football was always a thing for me. My dad played up at the University of Utah, and then growing up, it was always a part of our lives. And so played formal tackle football in 9th grade, but always flag football all the way up. So, so it was always part of my life.
Okay, you ended up in Cedar City.
Yeah.
Tell us about your time there.
Yeah, so actually before that, I was in a JC down in Arizona for a semester, and then I transferred mid-year to Southern Utah in the January of 21, and then was there for 2 seasons, and it was awesome. Grateful for the coaches that were allowed me to be there, and it was a good time. So,
Kalani, when did you first become acquainted with Tava?
Well, I mean, we know. All the Paulies know each other, but right. we knew what I know his family and knew what he was doing with his with football, and when we had a chance to recruit him, it just made sense, and it felt like he was supposed to be here at BYU, and there was a big need for his style of football. And I know you mentioned that he has 4 catches and 3 touchdowns, but you should see all the other stuff he does, how many pancake blocks he makes, and I mean he's like. He's a man after my own heart because that's all I did was block back in the day too. But this guy, he sacrifices his body literally and he does all the little things that doesn't get a spotlight. And so that was important to bring him on the show and give him some love, because he does, I mean, and he's a great leader for our team, but he does all the little things that probably some people don't like to do, but he enjoys it. And you can see it when he makes a big block, you can see how excited he is. But he's getting rewarded by with the touchdown passes. So, but he's got a lot of ability. He does a lot of great things, but the football stuff is easy to see. It's all the little things that he does on the side as a leader, the way he connects with our players, and the way that he just lives his life. He's got a wonderful family and a wife and child, and so he's I'm so proud of him and the things that he's accomplishing in football here.
And your wife and daughter are here, yes?
Yeah, they're right over here.
Want to name them for us?
Yeah, my wife Ellie and my daughter Eliana. So
good to have you here. Thank you, guys. Why BYU for you?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think Kalani says it a lot in our meetings. People that we know and don't know prayed us to where we are right now. And my father, I think that was something that Kalani has taught me, that now that with my father not being here, that's something that I think he's teaching me, that my father wants to know, is that BYU is somewhere that when I entered the portal, my dad really wanted me to come here. And I didn't know why, because he went to school in Utah and at Utah and was, his, you know, big Utah guy. But he saw something at BYU that I didn't. And it's just been a blessing to be here. So that and, of course, just them giving me an opportunity, the coaches, and just felt right. So, yeah.
Well, we're so glad you're here. By the way, did you know that you your touchdown coincided with a rocket launch on Saturday in Orlando?
Yeah. We were on the sideline and we were celebrating, and then all of a sudden everybody looks behind the bench and it's up on the big screen, and it was pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
I was focused on the end zone and I'm celebrating with you, and then I'm seeing this rocket shoot up into the sky. It was a kind of a once-in-a-lifetime experience, I would think. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Well, before the break, real quickly, you're part of an 8-0 football team.
Yeah.
Could you have seen this coming?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a thing that I tell a lot of people that are not in the program is, you know, we've seen this, and it was a matter of us just proving ourselves right. It's not a secret or something that we didn't see. So, yeah.
Love it. Stick around with us. Coming up next, we're going to play a Halloween edition of Who's That Coug with Mataba Tase when BYU football with Kalani Sitake continues. Stay with us. Back at BYU B for more, BYU football with Kalani Sitake. Well, it's time for the weekly fun and games portion of the Sitake Show, and it's also Halloween week, so what better time to play another rollicking edition of Who's That Coug? Who's That Coug? The rules of this one are pretty simple, Tava.
Okay.
We are going to have a picture of one of your teammates on the monitor, but they'll have a mask on them. Your job is to simply tell who you think it is under the mask.
Okay.
Okay? We'll probably start maybe a little easy and get harder as it goes, if all goes well. All right?
Perfect.
Ready for number one of Who's That Coug?
Oh. That's J-Rob. Jacob Robinson.
J-Rob Jacob Robinson. The answer here is Jacob Robinson. Yes. That's how it goes. It's just that simple. Number two.
Okay. Yeah, that's Austin Leusa.
Austin Leusa is the guess. And the answer here is Austin Leusa.
Well done. What was that mask?
Number three, we go to the... Oh, who is that?
That's A-Rod.
Coach Aaron Roderick? Coach Aaron Roderick, yes. Right, well done. Just sailing through these. Who's that?
Tyler Batty.
That is Tyler Batty. Pretty easy to tell. Yes. Rugged D lineman. All right, at some point, these are going to toughen up for you.
Okay.
How about this one?
Okay. Oh, that's Reiner Swanson.
That was not tough at all. That was not at all tough. That is Reiner Swanson.
That looks like a mask he would wear.
Yeah. He's in the tight end room with you.
Yep, he's awesome.
What can you tell us about Reiner Swanson?
Well, Reiner is one of the most athletic guys I've seen with his body and just... But his personality is one of the most humble and spiritual guys I've ever met, and he's just a stud. So really appreciate having him.
You love your room, don't you?
Oh, yeah, they're awesome. They're awesome.
All right, next up on the Who's That Coug Halloween edition.
Oh, I think it's handsome.
Coach Kalani.
Very handsome.
That is the
name. Hey. Oh. A few pounds ago.
We are on a roll. Next up.
I believe that's LJ Martin.
Is that LJ? It is LJ. These offensive players all know each other really, really well. Next up on Who's That Coug?
That's Jake Retzloff.
Whoa. I wouldn't have known. Yes, Jake Retzloff.
Now that's a. One of these is going to get hard for him.
That was a tricky one. I think Jake's hair is a little lighter now.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but yeah. Well done. Good job, man. Yep. All right. Number 9 on Who's That Coug?
What in the world?
You've aced them all to this point, so you're just, you can't miss.
Oh my gosh. I want to say Darius, but hair looks. Just, Darius, yeah.
Darius, let's go Darius. Yeah. Darius last
the hair,
year.
There you go.
Yeah,
the hair sucks.
Yeah. Okay, to our 10th edition. That's creepy, isn't it?
What in the world?
Did he really do that with his eyes in the picture? There's no way.
No.
Okay.
Golly.
That's a hard one.
That's. Maybe.
Chase?
Oh, yeah, that is Chase.
Is it?
Yeah, Chase.
Chase Roberts?
That's an old picture of him.
Chase Roberts.
The
well
hair
done.
Is.
Yeah.
Get different hair, so. Yeah.
Well, he cannot be fooled. One last teammate to look at. On.
That kind of looks like me, but.
Is maybe. It? It is!
The chin.
Good job. That was 11 for 11.
A little help on a couple.
That was good.
Yeah, this guy can pick out anybody in the lineup now.
Yeah. That's what, you know, that's it proves that you know your teammates really, really well. It means you're a tight group. All right, when we come back, our weekly Q&A segment with the coach and Tava when BYU football with Kalani Sitake returns. Stay with us.
BYU football with Kalani Sitake is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics. Breeze, the official hometown airline of BYU athletics in partnership with the San Bernardino International Airport. And Ken Garf, we hear you.
Is BYU football with Kalani Sitake. Head to our studio audience now for our weekly Q&A segment presented by Ken Garf. We hear you. We've got a mic on the floor. We've got fans at the mic. Let's go to question number 1. Sir, your name and your question. Who's it for?
Ben, and my question's for Coach. How do you see the players staying humble with all the attention and publicity that comes with being 8-0?
Yeah, the best way is to go to work. I mean, that's you don't sit around and talk about the attention. You just get the work done, and these guys have been doing that. I mean, there is a lot of tension coming our way, but the one thing these guys do and that Tava does as a leader is get them working, and I love that the group works really hard.
Anything to add to that, Tava?
Oh, I think that nailed it on the spot. To enjoy, just enjoy the moment, but to live in a moment right now, and that's to beat Utah. So.
Okay. Yep. Ben, thanks for your question. Next up.
This question is also for Coach Kalani. If you had all the resources available to everyone, all the time to prepare, what would your dream Halloween costume be?
My dream Halloween costume? I don't know. Probably be like a chef and just eat the whole time and make food. Just, you know, that'd be fun. Just to have all the expensive food. I haven't met a lot of food that I didn't like, so.
Food's a resource.
What would you do, Tava, if you got all the resources? We already know what Eliana's gonna be.
Yeah, whatever my daughter wants, so that's what we'll do. So.
Good answer.
Let her choose.
Next question. Oh, look who it is. It's producer Hema, everybody.
Okay.
Look
at Hema. All right.
It's perfect because this is another food question. Kalani, what's your favorite post-game meal? And I'm going to say, Tala, what's your favorite post-game meal?
I eat everything. So it's whatever's there, I'm going to eat. But I, for some reason, we've been on a good, the win streak is shoyu chicken. So I'm going to eat shoyu chicken every time before the game.
For me, a lot of our games are late, so not much is open. So whatever there is, I'm happy with it. Yeah, whatever's open.
Point.
So yeah.
Okay, final question.
So, Coach, you grew up a fan of the rivalry. What is your first memory of the rivalry?
Oh man, my first memory is watching the games and making. So in Hawaii, we're always watching it at the end. So it's always we're in warm Hawaii in Laie. So I remember watching the games and having it be look really cold. And just thinking, what would that be like? And then when I got to feel it, I was like, I kind of liked it better in Hawaii watching the game. But the energy and the excitement of the game, there's nothing like that rivalry game. It's awesome.
Tava, any rivalry thoughts?
Yeah, growing up.
With the family connection and everything?
I had watched all the games growing up, and I could just feel the energy, and just always fun to watch the intensity both sides.
A week from Saturday. All right, thanks, folks. Thanks for the questions. As we take another break, here's this week's trivia question presented by Breeze, the official hometown airline of BYU Athletics. L.J. Martin, 125 rush yards away from becoming the 38th player with 1,000 career rushing yards at BYU. The last two BYU players to pass the 1,000-yard plateau did so in 2020. Who were they? The answer is coming up right after this. Stay with us. Segment of BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. Always close with trivia. This week's trivia question, L.J. Martin, BYU running back, is 125 rush yards away from the 1,000-yard plateau. The last two guys to get there did so in the year 2020. And Kalani, who were they?
Lapini Katoa and Tyler Allgeier.
Yes, they were.
We both got it.
Everyone here on the stage nailed it. So, yes, it was Tyler Allgeier and Lapini Katoa back in 2020. And L.J. will certainly be the next guy on that list. Let's take a look now at next Saturday's broadcast schedule as BYU visits Utah for the first time since the 2018 season. And now it'll be an every year thing, either there or here, right? All right, Cougars and Utes, and there you see it's a late kick, late in the east, still late here, 8:15 p.m. Mountain Time. So 2.25 hours prior, you can get catch pregame coverage on both BYU TV and BYU Radio, and stay with both BYU TV and radio for postgame coverage well into the wee hours after the contest. Let's see what BYU will be wearing for the rivalry game as blue meets red, and it will be a lot of blue and a lot of red, the all royal blue unis for BYU. I think it'll be the all reds for the other team, and so that's how it's going to look in Salt Lake City 1 week from Saturday. All right, in the last couple of minutes we have on the program, Kalani, you've talked about this team being such a good statement team, meaning this week's statement, next week's statement, and it's always kind of really contained. What's been the secret from your perspective from that approach holding, and then maybe Tava could weigh in on that too, about how these guys just seem to really lock in on that game?
Well, the secret is our leadership on our team. The players, guys like Tava and those that are in senior class, just loving the guys and setting the example, and then just enjoying the moment. I mean, relishing every moment that there is, the grind of practice and the tough things that, not just only about the game, it's appreciating everything that leads up to the game and then having the game be that moment.
Tava?
Yeah, I think Coach Kalani hit it on the spot. Just to, A-Rod says it a lot, to live in the moment, because we're living in a special time as us players, and hold everybody accountable, and when that next game comes, that's our next time to be able to show what we are and what we've been preparing for. So,
okay, last thing then, Kalani, last word for you, final 30 seconds from you on how you'd like both sides to approach the rivalry outside, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I said that the absence is kind of like, I think sometimes you can, when you don't have something that's always been there, you can take it for granted. And I think that now that's here, I've said it in the press conference yesterday that I think we can do it better. We can enjoy the game and have it be competitive, but let's show some respect and an appreciation, because really one can't exist without the other, and so it's okay to coexist and to enjoy the game and let the game be the game, but have a lot of respect and love for each other.
Okay, Kalani, thank you for that. Tava, great having you here. Appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you all for being here. Folks, have a great day. Go Cougs!
Go Cougs.